Hi everyone, it's Jerry Demos, the Chief Revenue Officer of Process Street. Process Street is a compliance operations platform for the healthcare industry. And I'm joined here today by Dr. Sarah Inham, the SVP of Healthcare for Improv. Dr. Sarah Inham is a strategist and workforce management expert and Doctor of Healthcare Administration with over 20 years of experience on both sides of the hospital equation. She's a former clinical staffing manager overseeing 400 nurses and patient care technicians. And now she's a Senior Vice President of Healthcare Strategy at Improv, as we said, and she's also working daily to address the staffing challenges of hospitals and healthcare providers across the country. So Sarah, I've got a whole bunch of questions for you today, and so really centered around the Joint Commission and how the Joint Commission is focused on a couple key themes for this year that are different from previous years. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about what those differences are?
Absolutely. So one of the things that I'm actually most excited about from a Joint Commission standpoint, which I never quite thought I would say, because as a former clinical manager, a Joint Commission usually brings up a lot of feelings of stress and anxiety. Joint Commission has a very big focus on staffing mandates in 2026. So that is something that's very new. They've never focused on that before. So that is something that is very new for hospitals, that's new for nursing executive, it's new for healthcare executives in general. So it's something that hospitals really have had to shift and pivot towards looking at differently in the new year. And they're having to change processes in a way that they've really never had to before. So It's changed the paradigm a bit in the very best way. But it also means that we're going to have to look at things in a slightly different manner from a staffing perspective, which is a good thing for those of us who care about patient care about the way that we look at staffing, but also means that a lot of hospitals and healthcare executives are having to scramble now and figure out exactly how they're going to address this.
Yeah. You spoke about that anxiety that you sort of feel every time you hear about the Joint Commission.
Oh, yeah.
Talk us through a little bit about what the experience is on the ground for especially nursing leaders. When they hear that the Joint Commission is coming, why is it such a stressful event for them?
I think this is almost a universal experience for my peers and colleagues who work in the healthcare space. It does not matter for most organizations. I don't want to paint with a broad brush, but I've worked for quite a few organizations and still today work with many. When Joint Commission walks into the building, there is that almost audible, tangible gasp of, oh no, they're here. And in many instances, it's because one, there are so many different things that they are looking for. Mm-hmm. It can be the compliance records of your nurses, the BLS cards, your basic life support. It can be the environment of care rounding records of how often you have maintained the generators within your building. Right. It can be anything. Yeah. And what I have found and what just tends to be the case is so many of these processes are manual. It's on paper. It's stuffed in a filing cabinet somewhere in somebody's office.
Yeah.
It relies on manual processes and signatures and checking a box and the human element that so often, even with the best of intentions, can go wrong, which means one wrong move, one person calling in sick, or one person just having a day can mean a Joint Commission audit goes wrong. It can mean a citation, or it can mean tens of thousands of dollars in fines. So that's a lot of pressure on a healthcare leader, on an executive who otherwise is just trying to take really good care of their patients and take care of their staff.
Yeah.
So a lot of pressure, a lot of stress, and a lot of anxiety when you know that Joint Commission's walking in the building and now all of a sudden that's sitting on your shoulders.
Yeah. Everyone's under the microscope.
Mm-hmm.
So your doctoral thesis also found a lot of common issues, regardless of the size of the hospital, where they are, which always comes down to the reason for compliance breaks. I think you outlined some of the symptoms, but what do you think is the root cause there of the fact that people have to scramble at the last minute? And
it is truly, I think what it comes down to, as I mentioned, it is those manual processes. It is a lack of processes. It is a lack of forward planning, not intentionally. It is the day-to-day, frankly, just kind of gets ahead of you. And when the time comes, even though we know Joint Commission is coming, all of a sudden that light bulb goes off and you say, Oh no.
Sarah, you just pointed out many issues or pain points that happen when the Joint Commission walks into the hospital. But from what I've seen, hospitals spend millions of dollars in technology to automate things and to have access to data. Are you saying that still all these processes are running manually?
Yes. And what I have found in a lot of instances, many organizations don't realize what's out there. So it's one of the reasons, very candidly, when you and I met, when I started working with Process Street, I was so blown away. Despite the fact that I have been in this space now for so many years, I didn't realize what Process Street was able to do. Back when I was a clinical manager managing hundreds of per diem associates, I spent hours, weeks of time manually doing clinical competencies, for example. So one of the very first things I did when I started working with your organization is sat down and did a case study on the amount of time that I would have saved had I used a tool like Process Street to automate a clinical competency workflow. Weeks of time I could have taken away of just the manual process of doing something like that. So what I find is that as much as they're focused on their EMRs, as much as they're focused on the technology around their Pyxis system for how they're, you know, getting their medication to their patients, they're not thinking about the automation around things like life support cards or, you know, onboarding documents for new nurses. They're thinking about the patient care element. They're thinking about the, you know, things that are keeping people alive, not the administrivia and the minutiae of onboarding or, you know, those little things that aren't so big until Joint Commission walks in the door. And now all of a sudden, a simple tracer question can turn into tens of thousands of dollars in fines. So that's what I'm trying to do. That's the work that we're doing together is getting the word out and talking to these leaders and explaining that there's a better way, there's an easier way. And the relief that I see in people's faces when I have these conversations with them and they realize that they can automate these processes is palpable.
Well, this year, the new program that's being launched is Accreditation 360. And we see that that's a shift away from static compliance to something that's more dynamic and outcome driven. Maybe you can explain to us what that will mean for hospitals in real terms.
Absolutely. One, it means that there is going to have to be a stronger focus on the executive team, on what is happening at the core level, the day-to-day level from an accreditation process. There is going to need to be accredited executives who are involved in the day-to-day. There's going to need to be clear escalation paths that go up to the executive level. So what this is doing, it's taking a lot of the pressure on more of the frontline nursing leaders. So think your house supervisors, your nursing managers who are directly within the units, and more the CNO levels, more the, you know, chief executive level, the COO levels. That's changing things quite a bit. So it's putting a lot of pressure on the higher level executives within the organization who now are going to bear responsibility from the Joint Commission, from your accrediting regulatory body, to take responsibility for some of these things, which is going to put a lot of attention.
That accountability is a good thing. It's a good thing. But then how do you turn that into executable, reliable processes that can be followed is really the hard part.
Right? Yeah.
So there's often a gap between what's written down in a policy document or a standard operating procedure and what actually happens on the ground.
Right.
What's been your experience when you're going in and consulting to these hospitals about how they bridge that gap?
So what I have found is there's what people think is supposed to be happening and then what is on paper. And when Joint Commission walks in the door, they don't care about what the intent was. They care about what actually happened and they care about what's documented. And in healthcare, if it's not documented, it didn't happen. So don't care, again, what the intent was. Don't care about what you meant to do. So again, what is going to be so critical moving forward, and it's always been important, it's always been critical, but now even more so, is that it is very, very clearly documented. It is accessible to everyone within your organization. And why not leverage technology, have it just with a click of a button to ensure that everyone within your organization, whether you're 500 or you're 50,000 people, can see it, can access it at a moment's notice. And that's really going to be the biggest thing, because so many times when Joint Commission walks in the door, they just need to see it. They just want to know that it exists.
Yeah.
Particularly for organizations that already have something on paper, a lot of times what I see is the biggest problem is they can't find it when they need it.
Yeah.
So when Joint Commission comes in, everybody's in a little bit of a panic. People are a little frazzled. They know it's somewhere. It's in a folder on someone's desk. That person just happens to be out sick that day. They can't track down the document. If it's in an electronic file that someone just needs to click a link, hit a button, Joint Commission can see it. They check the box. They move on to the next thing. That sigh of relief, everybody can move on to the next step, is worth its weight in gold, frankly. And as more organizations realize that that initial investment, the initial time it takes to just transcribe that policy, that process electronically, and then let it live there and iterate from there, is worth all the time in the world when it saves them hours and potentially tens of thousands of dollars when Joint Commission walks in the door. Yeah. And even Joint Commission aside, the potential harm that it could do to a patient to not have a clearly documented policy or process.
Well, that's an excellent point. It brings me to the next question, which is Accreditation 360 is requiring that qualified nurses be the sort of point of the administrative coordinator and owner of the program.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably going to be the busiest person already in the hospital. Right?
Absolutely.
So the compliance requires more documentation and more work from the management team to ensure this is all put in place. These two realities mean that the frontline nurses have, without automation, how do they cope with something like this?
I don't know, and I'm frankly scared to death for them, because we are already in the midst of an unprecedented nursing crisis in North America. That is fact. There is data to back it up, and it is only getting worse. So right now, when we already don't know how to staff our hospitals because of the nursing crisis, now we are putting mandated regulatory requirements around what the nurses are required to do from a documentation standpoint. I don't know how they manage this. Yeah. I don't know how they continue to provide the level of care that we require and expect, that they require and expect of themselves, because nobody goes into this profession not wanting to give 110% to taking care of a patient. And then now you add this on top of it. It's going to require a different way of thinking. So in my mind, automation is one of the only paths forward. We have to do something different. We have to work smarter. Why would you not leverage technology and something like automation that can take literal hours out of their workflow, add time back in their day? It's going to change the game. It's going to change the way that they do things. So again, it's why I choose to partner with people like you, companies like Process Street, because it's giving me hope for the first time in a long time that there's something we can do. There's a tool now that we can use.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel for people like me that have made this my passion and my career to try to fix this staffing crisis in any way that we possibly can.
If you're sitting there right now watching this, and you're a nurse, you're probably thinking, well, I'm already too busy to go solve this problem. Now you're giving me another problem.
Yeah, now what?
What do they do? Like, how do they balance that? Should it be the CTO who's really driving this? Or should it be, you know, the nurses who are really taking the responsibility to go out and find the automation or to fix the problem? Where do you think the...
That's such a great question. I think it's a collaborative effort. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the frontline nurses, you know, ultimately don't have the ability to sit down and write the check. But I think the frontline nurses have power in numbers to say, we're tired, we're burnt out.
Yeah.
Hey, CTO, hey, CNO, what are you going to do about this?
Yeah.
You know, we've seen this tool, we've seen this solution, what are we going to do? So I would certainly encourage them, if, you know, anybody's listening or watching, raise it up to your leaders. But also if you are a chief technical officer, if you're a chief medical officer, if you're a chief nursing officer, look into what is out there. You've got to do something. What got us here won't get us to the next level. Something's got to give.
Well, and with the backdrop of burnout prevention being one of the focus areas for Accreditation 360,
absolutely,
it's really interesting now that there's a there's a critical decision point, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Like, do we continue doing what we're doing, scrambling for documents, or do we take a beat here to fix this problem for good?
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And are you seeing much of that right now? Have you seen an increase as a result of the new requirements by the Joint Commission?
I'm seeing a lot of conversation about it, so, which is a good thing. At least people are talking about it. There's an acknowledgement that we have to do something different. But also, I've seen a lot of conversation about it since COVID.
Yep.
I haven't seen enough meaningful action yet. So time's going to tell, ultimately. But again, the reality is we are losing nurses in a scary, scary way that makes me extremely nervous about what comes next.
Yeah.
So between this mandate, between all of the work that's being done by, you know, again, companies like Process Street, you know, different organizations out there who are addressing this head on and who acknowledge that, again, something different has to happen.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful in a way that I haven't been in a very long time as somebody with 20 years in the industry,
yeah.
But the burnout has reached proportions where people are leaving the bedside and just simply not returning.
Yeah.
So again, doing something different is the only way that we're going to possibly be able, yeah, to address this, because all of us are going to need care at, yeah, some point in our lives.
Well, yeah. And we want the nurses to be in the best shape possible for,
right,
that. But one final question before we wrap up here. Everyone's talking about agentic capabilities,
yeah,
and introducing agentic AI into their organizations. You know, the healthcare industry is fairly conservative with good reason.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see agentic AI being helpful to not only to nurses, but to the hospital in general in being able to address the Joint Commission's,
yeah,
you know, meet the bar?
So it's so interesting. Healthcare has always been very leery of that. And I have seen a real shift probably over the last 3 years or so. And I think that's a result of just more research, the technology's gotten better, that healthcare really is starting to look at it in a different way and understand that there's opportunity there to not just, you know, help our healthcare practitioners, but also better help our patients.
Right.
So one thing about healthcare is we are all about evidence-based outcomes. So if you can show us the data, if you can show us the actual science behind it, we're going to be all in. And I think that's where we are now, that, yeah, now that the data is there to back it up, that we've got the evidence-based outcomes, now it's a matter of, all right, now we're all in.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to see probably a rapid propulsion of agentic AI in healthcare over the next 3 to 5 years, where I would wager a guess that it's going to outpace most industries, and healthcare is going to be leading the charge in terms of trialing the new technologies, you know, bringing it in, again, assuming that it's got the data, assuming, yeah, it's evidence-based, because at the end of the day, that is truly at the heart of healthcare, that if you can prove it, if you can back it up, healthcare is going to be right there saying, okay, then let's use it to make patients' lives, yeah, better. And as an extension of that, clinicians' lives better too.
Yeah. Well, I can see a future where every nurse will have their own personal agent, and they'll never have to fill out another form or worry about the administrative overhead, and they can just focus on patient care.
Please.
Wouldn't that be great?
Let's come back, yeah, in 3 years. Let's just clock
well,
it.
I'd you say and I six come months back to see. A year. I mean, it's moving really fast.
I can't wait.
But not all hospitals are ready, and that's where you come in and improv. So I'd like to thank
you
once again for your time and a great conversation. And I look forward to working with you.
You too. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Well, thank you for joining us for this amazing interview with Dr. Sarah Inram. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I think some of the takeaways that I have from this is that, firstly, the Joint Commission is doing a great thing in helping us get a standard in place that will help nurses, reduce the burnout for nurses. I think that's an amazing outcome that we're all looking forward to. We're also looking forward to how agentic capabilities and agentic AI will lift the burden of all the administration off the shoulders of the healthcare professionals out there and allow them to have the freedom of time, the ability to think about how they're providing that standard of care that we all know we want to do, but don't have time to do as much as we'd like. So thank you once again, and we look forward to the next one.